Okay, we're in session. We'll start the budget workshop. Councilor Birch has arrived. We're missing Councilor Mushler, but we'll proceed. Finance Director, it's your floor.
Very good. Thank you. Members of council and mayor and staff, primarily tonight I wanted to go through the budget decision cards, but before that we'll have some just introductory kind of comments.
Okay, for the record, and Councilperson Mutchler has arrived, so we're all ready and accounted for.
Since we last met, we made a couple assumption changes on the general fund. One on the revenue side. Previously, we had looked at the Meadows development, 157 homes, and we kind of scaled that back to just a few homes for 2015. And we assumption was that would run for 4 years. Thinking about some more, and with mortgage rates being reasonable and the Fed basically keeping rates the same through next year, mid-year 2015, we thought we ought to really get a little more realistic, bring some more homes into 2015, 57 versus 15 homes in 15. So we see that running for 3 years, building permits. Not necessarily sales, but 3 years worth of building permits with 57 homes coming in 2015. So that helps the revenue on the general fund. Realize we've been going back and forth a little bit on this.
I'm sorry, and we were what number? We've had three numbers now.
Yes, we have.
And just give me two again, please, on the homes.
62, 15, and 50 for 2015. Three different versions. So now we're at 50 assumption for the Meadows. Over and above a lower level residential permit deal. So that helped our general fund. On the cost side, I made a couple adjustments. We've had one reclass, a small minor reclass. We put in some landscaping for the library next year. So we are currently at negative 37,000 for 2015, the general fund. So deficit is 37,000. I feel okay about that because our assumptions on the labor side is, except for those that are under contract, we keep the same health care plan for 2015 that we have this year in 14. It's a higher cost plans. Some are on group health, some are on regions, most are on regions. So the assumption is we're not successful getting anyone else that hasn't already bought in to the lower cost plan. Then we have a 2% wage increase assumption for 2015 for those that are not under contract. So one scenario would be in negotiations, just talking generally, is that we keep to our principles and really fight hard to get that less expensive health care plan for the four remaining units. And if we continue to bargain, we bring in a mediator, we go to impasse, and then we, on the police side, we go to interest arbitration. That could take months, maybe even over a year. And with the non-police, we don't have interest arbitration, but we would do not a best and final, but we would come to or we can't negotiate anymore, and we would wait 12 months, and then that last offer goes into effect. So if all that happens, yes, we keep the same higher-cost health care, but wages are frozen. Wages frozen versus a 2% should bring us right about down to zero in terms of a deficit for 2015.
Would those wages be retroactive?
No way, Jose.
No.
So
probably not. Okay, sorry. Was I too dogmatic on that?
To continue to be bargained.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's such a thing as like a signing bonus or something like
what?
That. If you get too far, retro is always a discussion, but it's also a bargaining chip. So it could be zero. It could be a little bit of something, but we just don't know until we get there.
And so far, just generally, at least one council member has sat in. We're not wavering on our health care. And the other side is not taking it well. How's that? All right, so that's kind of the general fund thing. Even though we're deficit 37, I think that's doable. It's most likely doable to balance out the zero deficit, what the assumptions we have here now. So that's kind of the general fund. And then just looking at solid waste without doing any kind of rate increase, actually until 2016, which we kind of need to pay for that second detective, and but we can weather it for 2015, keeping the same 12.5% solid waste tax rate on our two wonderful firms on Slater Avenue. And that solid waste does successfully feed enough money into the street fund for 2015 and barely into 16 to keep the street fund afloat. And that solid waste contribution to our LEF 1 remains with steady payments into the LEF 1 fund, $150,000 a year for the next 4 years. I have laid in on the LEF 1 liability fund my estimate for expenditures based on certain assumptions. The age of the three individuals, how much care they're going to need. I've laid those expenditures in that equates to my $6 million number for, you know, all the way out until they reach 86, and then my assumption is they don't need any more care. So that's kind of an overview. Now we can kind of just jump into the decision cards on the expenditure side. We did review the revenue. There were only three items on the revenue decision cards. One was a property tax, 1%. I did lay that in as an assumption in the general fund.
You did or did not?
I did. Yeah, that's a kind of a correction from last time. I did lay in an assumed 1% property tax increase. I do have two versions of the ordinance written, one and two. The other thing was kind of changing our business license for large employers that typically don't have much retail sales or basically industrial customers. I estimated at a headcount, if you will, kind of a headcount tax to pay for roads, about $20,000, probably more like $40,000, maybe even starting that in 2016. But just keeping that out there, we want to see what that vote looks like tomorrow on the penny. Penny for now. Penny board of gas tax.
How much more later?
Can you trust counsel?
I don't.
I know those people.
And thirdly, was a little shake up in the water bills for people, where we yield $64,000 more in the general fund, could pay for a cop car or one and a half cop cars. So that's kind of the revenue side. You know,
the revenue side does include a 1%.
It does include an assumption, 1% property tax.
Oh, no. Property tax.
Oh, not utility tax, 9 to 10?
Not
yet. The assumption on utility tax on our own water sewer storm is still at 9%. Yep. If you saw some of the revenue graphs, most of our items that we have on those revenue graphs are positive over and above our estimate, our budget, including water sewer rates are above, sales tax, property tax, and utility tax. Because, you know, as we made a change for water sewer storm utility tax, we started applying that 9% to all revenue, including connection revenue, which we should have been doing all along. I asked my boss if I could retro that to 13, 12, 11, 10. He said no. That would have brought in a chunk of money, but probably would have bankrupted the utilities, so Chad wouldn't like that. So.
What was the big jump in TIF?
Good. Glad you asked. You noticed that great big jump.
Yeah. Hmm. Somebody came in and gave us.
Yes, they did. Anyone else see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, Sampson Road paid a payment in lieu of street improvements. Oh. Over $200,000. The really? Owner of Sampson Road, the property owner, not Sampson Road, but the Canadian owner. So that immediately, per budget amendment, went into the Thornton Road Construction Fund. So Thornton now has over $200,000 cash balance to help pay for those engineering costs and other pre-construction costs. So that was a big windfall, you bet.
Very cool.
Good. Thanks for noticing.
I asked this before, and I guess I don't get it. When we decided to apply the utility tax to water sewer hookup, which is about $100,000 a year that helps our general fund,
yeah.
It just seems logical that would be passed on to the people paying the hookup, the developer, but we're actually sort of applying it to water sewer.
Water sewer pays an expense. They write a check to the city of Ferndale.
They're like a
company. Just like PSE writes a check to the city of Ferndale. Just like the gas company writes a check to the city of Ferndale. Landline phones, cell phones, they write a check to us. It's the same deal.
Can they pass that on to?
Well, eventually, if we did nothing else and this huge expense is not that huge, if the huge expense started eating into our cash balance for water, sewer, storm, we'd have to think about, raising the connection fee or raising rates. But right now, it pencils out pretty good for the next 6 years because of growth and yeah. Even though connections are pretty low below this year, way below the graph. But we had a dang good year in 2013, over $1 million of connections. So there you go. So without further ado, we can look at the expenditure. I think everyone has one here. I thought I'd let the sponsors of each one kind of stand up and talk about it. Greg sponsored the second and third and fourth one, I think.
Second, third, fourth.
Yeah, the repaint, the National Citizen Survey, and the asbestos removal.
And the TV.
Oh, and the TV. Okay. That's right. Administration. Fire away.
All right. The first one is just something that might be kind of both fun and also something that may need to be done, and that is repainting City Hall. But the thought was, what colors do we repaint it? And I thought, well, why don't we have a contest? And we would ask people to take a picture of City Hall and use Photoshop and Photoshop in the color scheme they feel would be good for the maybe a big giant 12 on the side.
We're not doing Seahawks colors.
I know. Or it could be a big W or a big I or whatever. Anyway, so just the idea of if we didn't want to just sit around with a color wheel, the idea of maybe involving the citizens. And just to kind of make it worth their effort, I thought, how about just 1 month of free utilities? We would have to take the money from the general fund and move it into the, we'd have to pay. We just couldn't give them, because if it was repainting a water tower, then we could say you get a free utility water bill because the water fund is benefiting from the contest. But in this case, City Hall is not a utility, so we would have to probably cover the $70, $100, $150, whatever it might be for the utility bill. But just an idea, if we wanted to repaint City Hall, if we want just maybe a fun way to figure out.
What if we repainted the same colors as the police station? Just to tie it in. Nice colors. Do I win, by the way?
So far, you're the least.
The Arts Commission would pick the winner under this proposal. Oh,
yeah. Exactly. We've involved the Arts Commission. It's just kind of a community.
Residents only.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Because it's utility bill. Right. If you don't have a utility bill, then no use entering.
I get a little reluctant. I have no problem with the Arts Commission making a recommendation.
I'm nervous about here,
because pink and green is not my favorite colors, and there are folks out there that think that would be smart.
Sure.
No advisory body to see if Ferndale has final recommendation power.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'll go see you guys.
Yeah, you would have to approve it.
We
could even do it where they pick the top three and then you pick the final one.
So your crappy taste would take precedence over.
But instead of just saying we need to repaint City Hall, which it probably is time to repaint it, and
it's pest time.
Just kind of a fun way to think about doing it.
So most of this cost is paint, right? I mean, would your staff do it, or would you hire
someone? Oh, we'd probably hire.
Yeah, the value, I think, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that value would be hiring someone outside to do it.
All right.
We skipped number one. Funding yet and approve with it.
The support for the nonprofits.
That's my general understanding. If I'm wrong, let's reverse it.
I'm
assuming no one filled. Do they fill out applications, or are we just not going to?
If I could talk about this a little bit.
Sure.
But it's not approved.
It's in the budget. If you say yes to the budget as it exists,
the numbers are in there right now. The same numbers as last year.
Yes.
But you get to decide whether they stay or not.
Right. But my point being, there shouldn't be an approved X in the approved column because it's not approved.
Yeah, good point.
Because there's money available. And we don't.
So, everyone, as was the council's wishes last year, we modified this program so that anyone who has previously applied for this program does not have to reapply, do all the same paperwork. Anyone who would be brand new, if we don't know anything about them and don't have their nonprofit status and all that, they would have to apply. We put a little notice in the paper. No one applied other than the existing grantees. Everyone said that they would like their amounts to remain the same, as far as I've heard, except for, I should mention, the Ferndale Senior Center. The Senior Center did not, as far as I read in the letter, maybe Mark can correct me, but the Senior Center didn't suggest a new amount that they wanted. They simply pointed out that they've been at the same amount for a very long time. And then I think we maybe wanted some discussion on that.
Can you refresh my memory on amounts for organizations?
I'm sorry, I can't off the top of my head. I didn't know we were talking about this.
That's okay.
I didn't realize it was a budget decision card. I assumed this was just a different aspect.
I think we do want to talk about whether to...
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. It's just usually budget decision cards are for new expenditures. These are current ones.
Senior Center Food Bank and...
Senior Center Food Bank, Teen Court.
Public Market doesn't get...
No, the Ferndale Public Market is LTAC.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much
food
it,
bank,
I believe.
It's four. Food Bank, Teen Court, Old
Center.
People, and Mauchin County.
Old People. You're getting up there too, Mark.
Well,
I think senior
people hang out there. If you
senior
want
Center, Food Bank, Teen Court,
and Mauchin County,
DBSS.
Against Domestic Violence.
It's my recollection from a resolution that council passed that each of these annually gets an up or down vote. That was the resolution that we passed.
That was my understanding. Each year we would decide whether we wanted, whether they needed it this year or.
And that we were, it wasn't, the assumption wasn't that they just automatically got rolled over, that each council would make a decision.
I think you can see council's leaning toward perhaps, because it's $13,000 and we need to paint City Hall, so.
That's totally up to council. I'm just trying to report to you was requested. And everyone, as I said, everyone has requested what, from the same as last year, except for Senior Center. They didn't request a specific amount. They just said, you've kept us the same amount for a long time.
But I would be comfortable. I think that's what the intent was, that we've got four requests for amounts that we just, it wouldn't take 5 minutes to up or down vote on all those, and then you go on from there. And
don't we already give the domestic violence fund something else? So is this in addition to that?
We help pay for the domestic violence advocate. We help pay her salary.
And then what is?
DDSAS, domestic violence.
And
sexual assault services, which is a countywide kind of overseer of a lot of different programs.
So it's different from the other.
Yes. All cities are put into DDSAS. Just the smaller cities that don't have the dedicated advocate. Bellingham and the county have a dedicated advocate that helps the victims work through the courts. The small cities don't. So that's what this just pays for.
What
does
the other one do?
DDSAS does more. They hold the awareness campaigns. I think do they work with some housing? I'm not even sure if they work with temporary housing.
We're paying
housing.
A percentage of their funding for their staff.
Yeah.
No, they don't do funding, because I just went through that with one of my wife's friends. So that's
right.
There is.
Yeah, let me get the what DVSAS actually does.
They would love to come in and tell you. So I have, if you count the nonprofits as four separate, so I have 27 decision cards.
Oh, including all of these?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I should add, it is true, there's a resolution from 2012, actually, where it's an up or down vote on each individual request. So the 1350 is each, is the combination of whatever they had last year, which was also the same as the year before.
So I think we ought to start going through decisions cards, explain it, and then we'll go backwards, like we take all of them, say, okay, 1 through 27.
You've heard them all, now let's go back through and say yes, no?
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to get through it in
minutes. And then you need more information, because there's no sense, if you're going to say, okay, I like them all, there's no sense.
It may be that we just get through the explanations tonight. You guys can take it back, think about
that's
the pros and cons.
You're going to have to come back. We don't even have the amounts for. I'm counting Senior Center 24, Food Bank 25, Teen Court 26, 27 DD. You don't have the explanation or amounts.
Yeah.
But we can certainly go through 1 to 23.
Yeah.
Okay, so repainting,
Yeah, so I think you've heard the idea. Anyway, that would be. And as Chad said,
to take a picture of City Hall and Photoshop it, I think you ought to limit the contest to high school kids, because old people don't have a clue how to do that.
For yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll get my paint.
We'll accept crayons.
I'll take a picture and I'll use my paint.
There you go. Any form will be acceptable, probably. Anyway, that's the idea. We probably need to check, and I just picked a number. We probably need to check to see what that size building would. It might very well cost considerably more than $15,000.
It probably will, given what it costs to paint
my house.
Oh,
you just were guessing that.
Yeah. I figured, hey, $15,000. I wouldn't pay more than $15,000.
Does it need to be painted?
Yeah, it's a little dry.
They always take it out of somebody's salary. Yeah. It was overwhelming.
So let me find out about that.
I think Jack is a better price. Or a more accurate
program. Maybe.
All right, what's this National
okay.
Citizen Survey?
The next one here is our National, this is a National Citizen Survey. I've actually used this in other cities, and in a lot of our discussions, this reflects back on discussions we've had about both the police station, the library, parks. You know, we hear that, oh, we need a new library. Well, yeah, they did an EED survey. Well, our parks are in terrible shape. Well, some people say the parks are pretty nice. This is a national survey, and the next few pages represent some of the screenshots from the company that is done around the country. It's a little pricey. I mean, it's $10,000, almost $11,000 a year. The value comes in the second year and the third year and the fourth year as you start seeing trends. It's one thing to say 80% of our people think our parks are good. Well, if it goes to 70 and then to 60 and then to 50, that's telling you something. And if we start off with our 60% of the people think our parks are good, we go, oh, wow. And next year it's 70 and next year 80, you can say, hey, we're going in the right direction. And this is something that some cities have used. What's that?
The ballot box tells us that.
Exactly, exactly. And the very last page, I just wanted to give you an option. And you can see this is not the very last page of but before the next decision card, you can see this is an example of what we would get. It can be somewhat long, but we can also modify it. So you can kind of see it's one of those, I think I call it a Likert scale, where it's are we somewhat good, good, somewhat bad, bad, and it kind of goes between there. So you can see the excellent, good, fair, poor. And in this case, it just happened to do with quality of life in Scottsdale and characteristics. And then you can do follow-on surveys.
So it's $11,000 a year?
Yes, yes, yes.
We do SurveyMonkey instead?
And that's the thing. I wanted to bring up this concept because I've used this before, but when I used this, it was probably before the advent of a lot of the SurveyMonkey and a lot of the other ones. This firm has the advantage of doing it across the country, so they're very good about trying to be somewhat stable in the type of questions they ask. You know, you don't want to say, do you really hate Vanderjagt? I mean, sometimes it's the questions are more important than the answers. We did some surveys when I was down in LeConnor, and we spent more time on the questions than we did on the results, because it really does make a difference how a question is asked as to how you answer it. And so we would need to define what we want to find out, what the question should say. This firm has done it a lot, so they do kind of have a standard format, and you can see how long it takes. But this is not the only way to do it. So I wanted to put this in here really to kind of check your temperature to see if this is something that you're really hot to do. And if so, there's this
okay,
way
yeah,
or there's other ways.
Idea.
All right. That's a lot of money. Thank you for playing.
Be careful. I did it in one city, and the results came back so bad they decided to not publish them in the survey.
We have a Facebook page to figure out.
That's right. So next would be the asbestos removal and demolition of the old house at Washington and Vista. We have a quote in here. It's a little old, but I think it's at least in a ballpark of $12,000, a little north of $12,000 for the removal of the asbestos. Then we would need to actually demo the house. Not unlike the house, if you remember, we demoed for the Riverwalk. First we had to de-asbestitize it, and then they came in and just clamshelled it to death and then crunched it up.
So you think you could do it that for $18,000, $12,000 for asbestos and crunch it and get rid of it for $18,000?
This is close to what we paid before, and we'll probably need to get better numbers on it. But, again, I wanted to see if this is this something you want to get done.
You used here, didn't you? Brought a bunch of WAGs.
This figure was from Public Works, though, from the previous study we did. When we determined that it had asbestos, I believe.
Right.
That's where
yes.
The figure came.
Yeah.
Does that include filling in the basement?
It says site prep.
It's remediation of all asbestos. I'm not sure.
It says asbestos removal, demolition,
if
and
site prep.
If we
decide, you want to, start culling these down, then we'll get you better, more.
Yeah.
I was just asking because it said funding available, so.
Yeah, it could be.
You can always say funding is available.
It could be.
A lot of them don't, though. They say no.
Yeah, most of them don't have yet. This could be out of Transportation Benefit District because it's going to be the future roundabout.
Well, I mean,
if you put it on the list.
I mean, I think it needs to be done. It needed to be done this year.
It's one. All right, let's see if we can get see if we can bang through this list.
And,
TV.
The last one that I had, and the advantage of this means I might stop moving the table around. any swing
no,
votes?
You won't.
Any swing votes?
No,
so,
you won't.
Is that the idea
you're
that the
passive,
I like
aggressive
the TV,
moving
but
the,
even though it's a big screen, it's really not that big, especially when you get at the end of the table. So the idea would be to get actually something bigger and put it right in the middle,
you know, Greg,
where the pull-down screen is.
You know what? Why don't you, the Black Thursday Walmart deal, you could go out at, was it, midnight, and you could
yep.
out, and I bet you could get...
Yes.
For like
$300
bucks.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, moving on.
Anyway, no.
And those are the ones I get.
All right, who's next?
I think I'm next.
Okay.
Community development.
Has the floor.
So we're proposing a half-time code enforcement officer. In 2005, we had 4 full-time planners plus code enforcement. We now have 2 full-time planners plus plans examiner who also does code enforcement. Our population has grown by about 30% since that time. We now do proactive code enforcement instead of just reactive. And as we've grown, we're falling by the wayside on fire inspections. We're now proactive. Well,
you're now proactive.
We are.
Oh.
We want to be. We have fallen behind on fire enforcement stuff. We've had 2 fires in the last couple of months. We are potentially falling behind on wetland code enforcement, and we're the stewards of the state for that. We're the trustees of the state for enforcing those sort of things. I know that a lot of the decision cards of proponents would say these are no-brainers. I feel that this is a no-brainer for our city.
Would the fines pay for the person at some point?
They wouldn't.
Look at the detail, partially. Look at the detail.
Greg, if I heard that a little fire marshal, Bill, inspecting our thing down here on the bounty, that cost us $10,000.
There's a bill for $10,000.
We haven't paid it.
I haven't paid it. I don't.
Okay.
I'm not happy with the idea, but yes.
No, nor am I, because I've got some more information.
There were plenty of other people there doing the same thing. That
right.
Did it for nothing, yeah.
But my point being, that's almost what this is.
Good point.
So.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
You already would have. Well, I don't know.
That's a full time, or what? How many hours is that?
20 hours a week.
20 hours.
Twenty hours non-benefited.
What happened to make it in a benefited position and shared with Lyndon?
Blaine, actually. Have you talked to them at all?
I haven't been able to talk to Michael Jones since that time. I think they're going through the same process. So it kind of sounds like maybe if Ferndale were to say, yes, we're interested, maybe Blaine would. He said, I said, sounds like our council is lukewarm right now. And he said, yeah, mine too. So
yeah, no,
that'd go up to about $50,000.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, sharing a full-time position is more expensive than 220, because at 20 hours a week, we don't pay benefits. And as you guys know, that can be quite expensive. But you need to find someone who's willing to work 20 hours a week.
Can you find
someone? Okay, I just don't want to get through this list in 30 minutes. You got enough to know to move on.
I like it.
Not really, but let's move on. Yep. So, nothing for you.
Lump of coal.
Who's going to explain police?
I'll do police.
Obviously, you're it.
Speaking
yeah.
of no.
Right now, the policy, if you will, up at the police department, or at least the desire, I should say, is to rotate cars out at 80,000 miles. If we do that, we need to buy quite a few quite often. And the numbers in here, you can kind of see what the age is. We've talked about this, I think, briefly in committee. We could kick that up to 100,000 miles, which, of course, reduces the number of patrol vehicles that you buy at any one time and also ladders out the need for it. Theoretically, we could probably even run them a little bit more than 100,000 miles. And I think more than anything else, we rely on our mechanic, because the issue becomes when you drive them that many miles is so there's a lot of cosmetic aspects to it. I think the mechanics obviously is more important. If you're going to be chasing bad guys, you want a car that works. If the seats are a little ripped or the dashboard has a crack in it, I don't see as a terrible thing to endure. But if it's not going to get up and go, that's totally a different animal.
So can Dave decide? Like, can he have some kind of decision card where he comes to us and says, look, this car's just not going to make it? Because that's what Public Works has done with their vehicles.
Right,
like
exactly.
Dave
exactly.
has said it's dead.
Yeah, yeah. And I've given Chad some information. I can send it to the chief as well as far as what some other law enforcement facilities have done. They came up with a rating system. One of the ratings, of course, one of the bigger ratings is the mechanical aspect to it, and the other has to do with whether it's the only Crown Vic left in the fleet when you all have other kind. So it just kind of whether it's an outlier.
I have a question. We We have a bunch of fines, right, that people owe us. Can we send the fines off to a collection agency and try?
They're already in
collection. Oh, so we're just still not getting
them.
Yeah, they go to collections on a regular...
So how do other people, how do other cities pay for all these new vehicles all the time? Other than
It's always a tough one. It really is. One of the things...
they have a Walmart.
Well, you need more cops. You need more cops if you have a Walmart.
I know. It might as well be me.
It helps to patrol that homeless encampment in the front.
Exactly.
How many vehicles are in the fleet?
There's 18 officers. So it's probably like 22.
Yeah, they have some reserve vehicles.
How long does it take them to reach 80,000 miles?
Right now, I think we're running about...
An average of 12,000 miles a year, I believe.
Exactly, about 12,000.
There's a thing in the back that shows you what year the vehicle is.
Yeah, and it shows the mileage in December 14, 15, 16, and then 16 and 17.
Well, as we move both of these items forward, I think the chief should come and explain his vehicle list.
Right.
Well, my question is, as our police force grows, when are we going to say you don't get your own car anymore? And we just hot swap out the cars at the end of each shift, like a lot of police departments do.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they're done that. We've already done that. We had. It's only been about 6 or 7 years, maybe 8 years, that they've all had their own vehicles. Prior to that, we had a vehicle for every two officers, and they found out they didn't last as long.
No, they don't.
The other thing is. The chief had to convince me of this because I was very much against it originally. These vehicles go out into the community and are parked at these guys' homes outside. And if you've noticed, so do the sheriffs that live in Ferndale. There's a Bellingham police officer who lives in Ferndale. That's all protection in their neighborhoods. And I still disagree with the car that happened close to Mount Vernon. But I don't disagree with it.
How many vehicles live outside the city limits?
I would say all but probably two or three. We only have two or three officers that live within the city limits. Some of them live nearby. But
she's requesting to have that information, so let's get it to her.
Yep.
The prisoner transport has got the same mileage for like 5 years. So I guess we never use that, or that's a mistake.
It's an old WD
vehicle. No, but it doesn't show it changing.
It could
from
be
year
broken.
To years.
Yeah, odometer.
Not a nice vehicle, but that's very good. That is weird. John?
Yeah. So, Greg,
I buy vehicles for $400,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a different deal. Apples and oranges, but.
Thank you for bringing things like that up.
Yeah, this is something.
Help me understand this here.
Well, I think as the mayor mentioned,
his own car because you're going to take care of it better.
Right. Exactly. We probably do need the chief to explain a little bit more succinctly than I would. But
is it the bad guys that are just beating the hell out of it when they're in there or something like that?
Well, no, it's going to you are going to help us have a policy decision. We're going to make a policy decision to run higher mileage.
Yeah.
We're going
to have to.
Was in the past, probably, you know.
Some smaller towns buy their vehicles from the county with 100,000.
So some of you might have forgot. We've kind of one of my things of kicked this problem down the road is we didn't have to worry about this for the last 4.5 years because we had the Stone Garden grant that basically bought a couple cop cars every year.
Absolutely.
Well, that day's over, so now we have to look at this.
Thank you.
Yeah, and some of the research I've done is
they could share the MRAP. The community would love that.
Yeah, the gas mileage, that would be a good idea. Okay, moving rapidly on. So you have two police car proposals, and he'll come back and explain those.
The Lexapol, Sam, do you know, is that an insurance savings? Because they bill themselves as if you have this service, you have less risk. Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know.
Okay, you're down to police policy manual?
Yeah. It helps them to get accredited, and they basically have a national agency that keeps track of all the court cases that are going on, and they keep changing your policies. So you have electronic policies, and when something happens, somebody gets sued, they change your policy, and basically they keep you from being sued. I don't know. And I don't know if accreditation is worth the money.
So pretty small amount. But
No, this is per year.
So probably 6,800 per year.
Yeah, it's a subscription.
I can't
I can't speak for police, but so it wouldn't automatically reduce our insurance rate through our insurer. Our insurer is, you know, we do how many employees we have, what our population is, how many employee worker hours we have, and then our past history.
That's a new expenditure outside their budgetary?
Correct.
This
yeah,
is
it's
new.
A new thing. That's, these are all supposed to be new things.
The argument would be that it's going to reduce our risk. So that's one way to look at it. The risk manager for the city would argue that we should probably take more advantage of our current insurer and some of the stuff that they can help us do to reduce our risk.
Okay.
But they don't talk to their
So am I safe to say the question is council is directing police to come explain this a little bit more?
Right. It might be interesting, too, to see what sort of care and feeding this is going to need. I know years ago when we talked about accreditation, at one point they talked about hiring a separate accreditation manager that would do nothing but do all the policies and make sure everything was up to snuff. So now whether this replaces that person or this actually necessitates that person, it'd be interesting to know.
It looks like that continues every year.
All right, moving on. So next, we roll over to Public Works.
Yep.
Public Works. Public
so,
Works
stormwater inspector and maintenance tech. This was basically looking for some assistance to help Wendy, our stormwater manager, facilitate inspection programs, going through some of our maintenance standards. It's a large load for one employee to carry. It also, there's some opportunities that we need to pursue in bringing Wendy a little further along and her expertise, which she's unable to do right now alone because of the inspection components and some of the enforcement components that suck up a lot of time.
How long is she going to be gone?
That is really up to her.
But that's not part of this anyway.
Well,
this is a separate.
In my mind, it can be part of this because if she's not going to be back until April, possibly even May, then this.
That's not a conversation that should be happening in the room. That's an HIPAA issue.
Yeah.
I'd like to
I did have a question.
So back this chair, that's an and this price is for FTE?
Starting in July.
July is for three quarters, correct, of an FTE?
Half a year.
Yeah, half a year.
Half a year's worth of
full-time.
We also figured out how to pick up around.
Quick question. It said that they would be doing inspection of storm ponds. Are you talking about starting to look at, because it said private ponds. So up at Pacific Highlands, we have to fill out this form, send it to Wendy every year, and get them inspected by an engineer. Is this something the city would start doing for
someone needs
ponds?
To administer that. It doesn't necessarily mean, under our Phase 2 MPDS permit status, the city is required to acknowledge and make sure that those inspections occur. And
okay.
The format under which we choose to do so, there's some discretion there. So our past practice has been to defer those private ponds, to require the Homeowners Association to get an inspection, and file a report to us that has been done. Somebody just needs to keep track of that information. So I think
okay.
This will be covered under stormwater fees that we currently collect.
Yes.
So there is, because we talked about hiring this person last year, and then
can we merge your half-time person with Yori's half-time person and make it a one person?
Kind of
there's already a full person for half a year.
One person starting.
We'd be looking at very
different
skill sets.
Do they know that?
So River, this is separate. This is different than what the railroad does. This would be for our bridge then. Because the railroad came and took all their debris.
Correct. This $10,000 is basically for the cost of removing the debris. We do not possess the equipment necessary to do it. So it would be our staff basically renting equipment as needed to remove debris.
Make sure all of you divert before the next meeting and go look at it. It's growing and it's going
ran
to get
over
bigger.
Today. It's mm-hmm. astonishing.
Yeah, it is remarkable and
how fast
jam
it grew.
Starts. Yeah. Good stewards would not.
I could see one that shouldn't have any question, but all of you go look at it.
I guess my question is this something our staff can do? Because what if, because if you hit the bridge, don't we?
I don't think I want our staff. We have the liability of our staff.
We,
and
we do it mechanically from the shoreline or from the bridge deck. So this is more or less money to bring in a rent or lease the proper equipment to do the job safely.
Can I just say that I would first someone who does it all the time does it? Because if you hit the bridge,
I intend to talk with the Buckland County Flood Management groups and just look for some alternatives. Right now, Bo brought it to my attention and said, this is amassing, and at some point we have to be careful of any structural risks. The bridge is accurate in that statement.
So you want me to bring more information, a little more detail?
I do, because 10,000 seems low.
Is this a once-to-one-time deal, or is it going to be multiple times that we're going to have
to do it? As long as the river flows by the
depends
river.
On nature.
No,
we
haven't done
year,
it
for
four
or five more years.
If, Yeah, it's not annual, but it's every so often, every few years, I would think.
Okay, bring more information.
Depending on how bad the winter is.
Storm fund.
Yes.
Okay, Thornton Road overpass.
Yes.
That one up as well.
End of discussion.
I'll keep it simple.
I want that one.
The $90,000 would basically be defrayed from the additional revenue that we have
received. And that's
going to
build the whole overpass.
No.
Wow.
The zip line to start, just to see.
This is just to, in addition to the $50,000 we've already committed to engineering.
Oh, okay.
And we are hoping to have a briefing for you at the next council meeting on the 17th.
I did
sheer design with some.
So the $90,000 is just to decide where you're going to put water and sewer and that sort of thing. You're not actually going to, you're going to be doing soil sampling and.
We have quite a bit of geotechnical work to do.
Okay.
You'll have more information also when I bring the 2015 CIP projects forward around the first of the meeting, around the 1st of December. That'll open up a little bit more discussion.
So going back to what you said, though, is the very next council meeting we'll have a
next council meeting, I've tentatively scheduled sheer design, the two engineers that are working on the Thornton Road overpass to come up and give you a briefing.
So the people we paid $30,000 to will come and... Okay.
Yes. They're far enough along that we should also have some feasibility level, hopefully some estimates. So we're working on getting some numbers together.
Now, is this $90,000 come out of the $200,000 that Mark was talking about we just got? Or?
Yep, that's what it says.
Yeah, there's cash balance available. Yeah. And there's probably some of it really relates to water, sewer, storm as well, so we'd have to split that up.
Okay.
Yeah. But I certainly we needed more funding for next year to keep that design moving. So
yeah,
that's what
definitely.
This is.
Okay.
City buildings maintenance, we did talk about in committee about a week ago, and this number is representative of those discussions. You might notice right below that we have the field house remodel is struck out because that is included in that $85,000 rough number. So this deals with some electrical retrofits that actually end up with some cost savings in the long run. Includes remodeling of the field house for public restrooms at a cost of about $45,000 was our anticipated cost. Some of that is some real world costs that we've already got some estimates on.
Is it going to take the second floor off that?
Yes. It'd be taken down to just the bare minimum to facilitate public restrooms.
Okay. So if you want to do all of it, it's $85,000, including the second.
Yeah,
okay.
That includes some painting up at the central shop and a few of the items that I listed on the decision card. I think Mark went as far as including a second page to that in your packet.
Yes.
Kind of describes that short list of what we went through on committee to talk about. Mm-hmm. Mostly, it's almost all of its maintenance other than the field house demolition remodel.
Okay.
So there's that.
Okay.
And I can run through all that if you'd like. Take your time.
No.
Or you can come to Public Works and hear it again.
And then we have the City Hall and Pizza Annex. I threw this in as kind of a point of discussion. I wanted to consider a cost-benefit analysis. As grand scheme of facilities go, this building that we are in now has a future. The Pizza Annex also may have a future. Do they both have a future? I don't know. They are both coming up, some obvious, some not so obvious, on major costs that are going to be incurred either through HVAC or through, in the case of the Pizza Annex, ongoing damage to the structure as it's not being maintained right now. So some decisions kind of need to be made. So what I would propose to put $8,000 in the budget for is to basically do an analysis of both those buildings in much more depth than we've done thus far and really have some good grounds to make a decision on. Should we retain these buildings? Should we retain them both? Should we cut and run on some of these structures? Looking out a little ways on what the cost to own the building will be.
So these two and the Pizza Annex?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And is there money for this one? I apologize.
No.
No.
Definitely.
What could fund that if we wanted? I mean, because, you know, funding from...
Mark?
Nobody know? Four question marks. That's not good.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yes.
General Fund's underwater right now, so probably go to zero, but...
Can REAP do something? I mean, can you take REAP?
Because
It's related to maintenance. We're trying to determine.
Well, REAP's not used for maintenance.
I thought we had this discussion that REAP could be used for maintenance. REAP 1 or 2?
Mark, do you want to comment?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Answer that question next time.
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah. Moving on.
Homework.
Just maintenance. I would say no. But
We'll check it out.
Moving on, as the mayor said, the sidewalk replacement is kind of an ambitious goal of mine, is to clearly have it back in our transfer, or our six-year TIP. I think it's kind of ebbed and flowed over the years. It's been there. It's not been in there. I like to be transparent, and I like to you know, define a project annually that so folks, your constituents, know that, yes, we're out there doing things that's important to them. I'd like to make it clear and identify that we will do a project that identifies specifically pedestrian needs. It can be sidewalks, it can be crosswalks, it can be those kind of things.
Could that be from DVD?
Yes.
Yes. What about annual street maintenance? Because they both have been zeroed out for the last 5 years. So
yes, there's the TBD could help with a resurfacing program, mm-hmm. as well as a six. Well, yeah, as a sidewalk replacement program, and we could certainly identify those in our six-year TIP. So there are.
And should by this time tomorrow night we have some idea of what happens with the gas tax, if any gas tax, that'll also play into all of our discussions.
Yeah, can be used.
Mm-hmm. Are we planning any big projects? I mean. Because we've been, you know, Main Street Church. I mean, so we have the TBD, theoretically, for next year we could use.
Correct. So part of that, this discussion is going to tie in with that six-year TIP. So that's kind of all one unit. So we better put that into kind of one little package, six-year TIP. We'll know the results of the election, and we'll estimate from there. So
okay. By the next committee meeting, we'll have them. Okay.
Yeah, and we're leading up to, I have right here just penciled in for the first meeting in December. We could do it sooner, but it's in there as the TBD updated project list for 2015, so we'll be able to talk about the TBD in conjunction with this budget after the vote, so we'll know whether we have just TBD monies or whether we
so
also have
those
gas
items
tax.
Will write into that discussion.
Yeah, okay, I should clarify, a good point is we don't really talk about the six-year TIP until like June of next year.
Yeah.
So July is when
we might.
This year we got to bump it up.
By half a year?
Yeah, you can do it.
Well, part of the discussion, you bring the list.
Yeah, the TBD list we would do was part of the budget discussions because of the funding source.
Yeah.
With your
I don't
want
to throw something off the TBD list that we decide, well, they're deciding on budgetary items now.
Of course.
Part of the discussion.
The tip's the staff support.
Yeah, at some point they do kind of cross over because if you do one here, you do one there, and so you want to. Yeah.
So around December 1st, I'll make sure that we fold in some discussion on the TBD and the
street discussion for the whole year.
Yeah. And we do update the TBD list around this time each year. Within the last 2 years, and then
Have to do the TIP and the TBD list officially? Can't you just do some things for the budget and then those show up 6 months
right.
later? Yeah, because you don't have to go through all the trouble of your budget. Yeah. Okay. When do we have to vote on the budget? The 15th, yes?
Yeah, it has to be passed by the end of the year.
Yeah. Okay.
So the 15th would be our last chance to do it.
Is it going faster this year?
Unless
I feel like we don't have a much time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think we've done before.
I feel like we started later.
Okay, Chad, still on your list.
Yeah, you want a lot, buddy.
I'm going to ride this out with you here in the next 15 minutes. So
you don't have 15 minutes.
Okay, 12 minutes. 3 seconds. The 10-yard dump truck is on Bo's wish list of items. It is 29 years old. We don't have a new truck in the fleet when it comes to anything with a dump body. And this was basically a real cost in order to facilitate a brand-new dump truck.
It really cost $230,000?
Yes, sir.
Can you get military?
Brad is straight off the state.
Can you get military surplus?
They were doing the library work.
Army,
all right, moving on.
Army surplus, anything like that?
I got it. You need a new dump truck.
I never thought
we need a new dump truck.
But they actually do need a new dump truck. So I mean,
yes. It's a brand new truck. It looks like historically has not really been the strongest encouraged option. However, there are other opportunities to look for surplus vehicles. It definitely would get us less than 29 years old and a little bit more reliable.
Check Minergy's inventory.
Something with a little Iraqi sand or Afghanistan sand.
They closed Friday.
Closed for good.
Minergy did?
Yeah, Minergy did.
Which will have an effective update shortly on our CIP or our capital improvement projects update later tonight. Okay. Four pickups. Basically, one of those is. Ties in with the new inspector, stormwater inspector, needing a new rig, or a rig, I should say. A lot of these are just really, I mean, aging vehicles. If any of you can see in the packet, most are, if not all, are 10 years or older. ranging anywhere from 145,000 miles. I don't believe any vehicle on here has less than 100,000 miles, except maybe the Crown Vic, which is a separate item to talk about here, but it's on the list under these four pickups. These are recommendations for Bo based on what he's hearing from our mechanic. As far as it's over the curve as far as when it's starting to become more expensive to own and operate. How to finance these are going to be a good question that Mark and I will have to keep working on. Some of these are tied to the utilities, so there is opportunities there to budget effectively for them. The cost that you see in here, you know, we're roughly looking, I mean, it's a range, but it's about $20,000 to $22,000. So we're looking at buying off of the state contract for new vehicles. So I wanted that in here for your consideration, because some of these are just getting to the point where they're just passing.
Yeah. What we might want to do is come back and figure out exactly what these vehicles would be used for, and therefore what funding sources we might have, how much out of water, how much out of sewer, and whether there's some parks or general fund monies that also are kind of blended into the use of these vehicles. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really helpful for a yes-no decision.
At least some options for what we could do.
Right.
Because maybe we get one this year and one if we have the money in one of the funds.
Okay. So I did include the funding numbers, and they are pretty spread out, but I can get more specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe assign some dollars based on at least the historical usage of them, maybe.
That is easy to do. So I'll get you a little more information on that.
4 minutes. You got 4 minutes.
Those are all the vehicles.
Other items from our operational division's wish list is a walk-behind mower. This would be for parks maintenance. It's something that we use a lot in Pioneer Park, the Riverwalk area, and we use it for some of the roundabouts.
This one's dead, right? I mean, it's dead.
This is a dead replacement.
Okay.
So,
yeah. And this is pretty much parks, so it's pretty much general, huh?
Correct.
Yeah.
Park mitigation. Okay.
Your consideration.
Easy.
Well used.
It had a good life.
Yeah. Right now, literally, it's more acceptable to fix it than replace it, so it is sitting. So.
So
a little more
approved?
Than a wish list.
Is that approved? No. We're trying to figure out how we get it approved.
So I think we're going to do that next
time. Can't be from parks mitigation. Yeah.
It can't be from parks
mitigation. Mitigation fees are only for expanding capacity.
What?
Yeah.
Well, what if we just keep mowing bigger lawns?
I'm gonna cut in here quite literally to talk about this cutoff saw.
Thank you.
This is a small ticket item, but these are also kind of points to show you that some of these things that do come up. Cutoff saw is something we use regularly for patching. You know, it's basically used small handheld gas-powered cut saw.
So when they're cutting
cut
the road, that's
we
the saw.
We can cut concrete, we can cut asphalt with it. You're going to cut out a section, you're going to repair it. This is the tool that they use.
So have they changed the depth? Because it says it's not, it can't cut deep enough anymore. So I'm just wondering, why can't it cut deep enough anymore?
It's
just
old. And the newer blades are larger, have better horsepower, and much more capable.
Okay.
So the wear and tear is also improved, I guess, for lack of better description.
So this could come from DVD because it's street maintenance.
Well, this wouldn't come from the TVD, I think.
Isn't it a tool used for street maintenance?
No, really it's the capital.
Normally, we would probably just roll this into as an operating cost.
Yeah, $1,200 we can just roll this into some sort of
but if the
operating
penny,
cost.
But if the penny gas tax, it would fit.
That is where it
could
be.
Okay.
Can I come back there?
So
and now in 6 minutes we're going to discuss.
I got
Pioneer
minute
Pavilion.
And a half here for this last one.
Correct, because we're going to stop. We'll give 5 minute break.
Okay. So last but not least, plate compactor, $2,500. It's widely used. Without it, you end up with subgrade failure, which ends up with pavement failure, which creates potholes. So we need one. Ours is really old, over 18 years.
Find the funding. I mean, if you can find it.
We will find.
Yeah, we'll come back with more of that.
Some of these I just want you to see, so if numbers change in the budget as you go along, we have something to tie it back to. So that was kind of my effort. This being my first opportunity to work with this council, I like to be as clear as I can on some of these items. So, you know, no surprise.
Clarity's always good. Even a year from now, clarity's will be good.
And that is it for me.
Okay, good.
Sam will talk about nonprofits. He has some numbers, but we'll pull that later in the meeting. So we're going to adjourn till 6 o'clock.
Pioneer Pavilion is another time next week.
Yeah, Pioneer Pavilion. I don't think I'm going to divert. We got the 35 grand that's left over. That's what I'm kind of operating on, 35 grand budget, and that's it.
And so you, Chad, we'll just do what Chad can do with 35, and we'll see what we get.
Yeah, we can. I think we've kind of put together a preliminary. Gary's put together a preliminary list. Some numbers. So we
already saved some money on chairs.
Yeah. So that list that you gave everybody when they went to the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I got them from Walton Beverage, and then said, "Deal and deliver them." Like half the price of retail.
New, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new on a rack.
Yeah, for sure.